Hey students, welcome to the Education Empowered Podcast, a podcast by students for students. Here we amplify the voices of students across our LA Unified community.
We will cover important topics for LA Unified students, keep you informed of district updates, and highlight our peers who are making an awesome impact on our district community. Hi everyone, I'm Parishi Kanuga and I'm the 2021-2022 LAUSD student board member. I'm also a senior at Cleveland Charter High School.
I'm Jaden Stewart, a senior at North Hollywood High School and the inaugural 2021-22 Student Empowerment Unit student spokesperson. And we will be your hosts for this podcast.
And I am Salak Mian, the middle school correspondent, and I'm an eighth grader at Porter Ranch Community School.
Hey everyone, welcome to the fourth episode of Education Empowered. Today, we will be interviewing LA Unified's brand new superintendent, Mr. Alberto Carvalho. We will be asking about his experience with education, his district priorities, and some fun miscellaneous questions. So Jaden, I'm sure many listeners are wondering, what does a superintendent actually do?
I think that's a great question, Parishi, and I think it's so important to answer because it really sheds light on how our district operates. In very simple terms, the superintendent supports the actions of our school board and serves as a representative of our district and its constituents' values and needs. They oversee the operations of all of our schools and ensure that our students are able to succeed academically.
Superintendent Carvalho has a story similar to that of many of the students in LA Unified. He grew up in poverty in Portugal and was the first in his family to graduate from high school. He emigrated to the U.S. shortly after high school and supported himself through higher learning as a day laborer and a busboy. After graduating, he started his career as a science teacher, and he also served in several roles, including assistant principal and chief communications officer. Prior to being selected as a new superintendent of our school district, he served as superintendent of the Miami-Dade County Public Schools for 13 years and garnered local, state, national, and even international recognition. His honors include the Florida Superintendent of the Year, the National Superintendent of the Year, winner of the Harold W. McGraw Prize in Education, the National Urban Superintendent of the Year, and the National Association for Bilingual Education Superintendent of the Year Award. Welcome to the Education Empowered Podcast and the LA Unified family. It's really, really cool to have you here.
Thank you very much. I love the opportunity, and thank you so much for that very kind introduction. And it's great to meet all of you, particularly the role you have of amplifying the student voices across LA Unified.
Thank you so much. It's great to have you on. And with our first question, we want to really start at the root. So we're wondering, what inspired you to involve yourself in education in the first place?
I think, Parisha, there were two really strong inspirations that I believe made me the educator I am today. Number one, the fact, as you said, Salik, that I was the first and only in my family to graduate high school and then go on to college out of six kids. All of them equally bright, if not brighter, but lacking opportunity, right, and access. Secondly, after I came to this country, I put myself through college with experience in biomedical sciences, thinking I was going to be a medical doctor, but gross anatomy was more gross than anything else. And I decided to do something different. And I said to myself, let me teach for about a year. And I taught physics, chemistry, calculus, sometimes biology at college level. And two things. Number one, I fell in love with the environment, with the experience, the energy of actually impacting a young person's life. And I was also extremely disappointed and confused by the conditions in a school where I worked, where the textbooks were old, there was no technology, the building itself was not appropriate, and it was always a fight. So I got hooked early on, and I decided I'm going to stick with teaching. This is my calling. It is my voice. And the impact is so visible and so tangible. And I used the dissatisfaction with the conditions that I saw my students going through as a way of actually fighting for better conditions. And I found that within the first year of being a teacher, I told myself to have maximum impact, greatest level impact. You need to go to the top and become superintendent. So my journey towards becoming a superintendent, first in Miami, then LA, started when I first was hired as a teacher.
That is immensely inspirational to hear. And what we want to know is, why did you want to serve as LAUSD superintendent?
Why not? I mean, number one, that's where you are. I mean, look at the talent around this table. That's where hundreds of thousands of inspired and inspirational young people are. Secondly, I'm tired of America not believing in the power of Los Angeles. This is a new America. I know we're different. We're diverse. We're not necessarily a reflection of many parts of America, but we are our new America. And I want to be present in this transformation of America beginning right here in Los Angeles. Thirdly, I want to be part of this equation, this formula that forces LA Unified to the very top of American public education. This is our time. This is our moment. There's an urgency that I feel. And I chose LA as much as LA chose me. This is now my home. And I love this community. You know, I've been here only 40 days, but I think I've scoured all of Los Angeles. I appreciate the diversity, the sounds, the smells, the food, the people, the soul of this community, and quite frankly, the future that I think belongs to Los Angeles. So with that said, there are powerful challenges, and that too was a calling for me. I want to be part of that solution. I want the success that you have had to be the universal success of every single student in LA Unified.
Wow, and you know, we really appreciate that. So as you embark on your endeavor to bringing LA Unified to the top, how are you feeling as you take on this new role?
I'm feeling pretty terrific. Look, I've been now to dozens of schools. Just today alone, I was in three schools. It was a great honor to welcome U.S. Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona to our schools. He's impressed with what we're doing here. He wants to be a supporter and an enabler. I've met great teachers, great principals, but most importantly, great students with powerful voice. So my early experience during these first 40 days has been robust, very strong, inspirational. At the same time, I've identified needs, which I revealed in this 100-day plan. Actions that must be taken swiftly, right? Because there's no waiting, particularly now in the aftermath of the COVID-19 crisis, which we're still navigating through. We all recognize the mental anguish, the trauma, the social-emotional needs, the academic regression and loss that many students have suffered. So I haven't really had time to sit back and reflect much. I've had a lot of time to dream about the work, to do the work, to anticipate the work, to plan the work, and actually do the work. So these first 40 days have been fast and furious. I'm loving every bit of it. And my comfortable place, the room where it happens, is the classroom. It's the school. And that's the room I want to be in.
Yeah, I think that's just tremendous to hear. I think you've already expressed such a strong desire to want to do the work. And so kind of transitioning off of that, I'd love to hear more about what maybe your top three priorities are for the district in the upcoming year, and how will student leadership guide you in achieving those priorities, specifically the 100-day plan that I know you just discussed?
So number one priority is actually to heal the academic regression, the loss of learning, to heal the trauma that currently exists in the hearts and minds of students, but also our workforce, to heal the social isolation consequences. Secondly, and number one, I say that because we ought to lead this work with humanity, with actually being present with every single individual in our community.
Yeah.
You cannot teach the mind whose heart you did not first touch. So when I talk about healing, that's exactly what I mean. Secondly, you know, the core function, academic proficiency in terms of mathematics and literacy is low. Graduation rates need to soar. And the social-emotional supports and mental health supports need to increase. Thirdly, it is time to prepare for a significant shift in terms of education funding that will happen within 2 years. You know, our system has lost a lot of students. Declining enrollment is a powerful force that is going to bring the finances of our district into a very perilous position. So I'm concentrating a lot of time and work on avoiding a calamitous condition that could lead to loss of programs. I'm not going to allow that to happen. And I know you asked for three, but then I'll throw one more.
Please do.
And I said earlier, I want our performance locally not only to improve, but I want our standing nationally and internationally to soar to the very top. So those are the priorities. Stabilize the system financially, improve educational attainment and performance, and heal at all levels this community through the power of education.
Yeah, I think those are some really great insights you just gave. I'd love to hear more about maybe how we can actually achieve that healing that you just mentioned.
Well, I think you're part of that solution, right? And number one, for every one of the elements I described, that cannot be accomplished alone. It's not going to be my voice, my actions alone. It takes the school board, it takes the entire workforce, our teachers, our leaders, our support staff, and it takes the power of the student voice. So I think this is probably one of the best systems in America as far as recognizing, meeting, understanding, and respecting student voice. Really, it's a game changer for me. So how do you heal? Well, number one, literally and figuratively, everyone needs to come to the same table and recognize that we all have a voice, we all have a skill, we all need to be acknowledged. Secondly, sometimes in some cases, you need actual professionals. And that's why this district, this school board continues to invest in counselors, school psychologists, psychiatric social workers, the voice of those individuals who can identify and prevent conditions of our students and the workforce that manifest themselves in rather negative and consequential ways. Thirdly, is that a matter of taking this new reinvention of our better selves beyond the schoolhouse onto the community? Is if we improve ourselves, can we then improve the conditions in our streets, in our neighborhoods, in our parks, right? Bringing the entire community along. That's what I believe in. I believe in LAUSD as sort of the glue of our community, that everything will start and end with us. And that's why I believe that these series of actions with the right partners and the right inputs will actually elevate not only LAUSD, but Los Angeles as an entire community.
I think that was really well said. And as you said, all community members being involved in this, I think that really, really, we need to put emphasis on the student population in this because you can't really have a school district without students. So how do you feel we can better incorporate student voice into our district operations?
We can and must do it at two levels, directly and indirectly, formally and informally. Formally meaning I am going to create beyond what already exists. You're a powerful voice on the board. You collectively are powerful and representative voices and opinions and perspectives of the student body. But I think we can do more. So specific examples are an advisory entity made up of students, advisory to the superintendent, to me, where the agenda is established by you. I will bring opportunities and challenges to the student group, and I get the necessary input. In addition to that, I want to fortify and expand the at the school level, the representation of students, which I've done in my previous roles, particularly at the high school and middle school level, to identify clusters of student leaders where peer-to-peer interaction can bring the voice, the opinion, and the actionable steps that we need to see as a school system. Thirdly, going back to the issue of mental health, which is critical, I am a strong proponent, and I have experience in actually bringing entities that inspire and train students, not only on the activism, but also on the peer-to-peer influence specific to mental well-being in schools. Those are just a few examples. But also, you know, being non-traditional, inspiring student voice through social media, through student publications, through podcasts like these, through outings and events in the community that bring physically, literally, the students to the community and have an expressive force of presence and change for the betterment of our schools. You're absolutely right, Parishi. You know, having a school district without students is like having a forest without trees. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah. And just to build off on that, I think a lot of times the students who are very engaged in what happens in the district are the students who are used to being engaged in their school communities. What would you do and what would you say to the students who may not have those opportunities or the knowledge to get engaged right now? And how can they have an impact on what goes on in the district?
It's the proverbial show up, stand up, speak up. And if you haven't done any one of those, let me connect you to a peer student who does it, who is really good. Because the best recruiter of student voice is who? The student. So I think you're actually better suited to be a recruiter of student voice and a trainer of student activism than I am. What I can do, however, is bring the resources, the convening, the energy to make connections and actually grow the entity, the army of voice from a student perspective as enablers of other student voice. That's what I was talking about through my idea of how to best take the stigma away from mental health issues, right? Is by having students address the issue with other students. They're more comfortable in expressing. Well, the same strategy can be employed in the recruitment and the expansion of student voice. Train the students, empower the students, engage in peer-to-peer interactions that result in an explosive augmentation of the student voice. You have the megaphone. The question is, does everybody have a chance at that megaphone, right? And I actually believe that everybody should. But you are actually the best role models to model, exemplify, and coach future student leaders in our school system.
Yeah, I think that is really powerful. And I know you recently just talked about all of the work that you've put in to ensure that happens in your previous roles. And I'd love to know a bit more about those experiences. So how have your experiences in Miami-Dade really influenced your leadership style and how you view this role coming here to Los Angeles?
So I'm one who believes, as an educator, that every time I teach something, I am learning something back. The interaction between student, teacher, leader, and community is one that's reciprocal in nature, symbiotic, right? I have something to gain, you have something to gain. And by the way, when I lose, you lose. When you lose, I lose. Mm-hmm. So we cannot fail. So going directly to some specifics, in my previous role, I actually adopted through partnership an organization called HIP, Health Initiative Program, where what I described was actually accomplished, to deal with the social-emotional needs of students, mental well-being of students. We trained thousands of 11th and 12th graders in the high school to be peer mentors and trainers and listeners and support system to the 9th and 10th graders. Overnight almost, we saw a significant decline in student incidents, a significant decline and disagreements that would lead to perhaps physical confrontations. We also saw one very interesting thing. The number of interactions between students and support personnel, counselors, school psychologists went up. You know why? Because there was peer reinforcement that destigmatized that engagement. Students helped other students in actually making meaningful connections with adults. The other thing we saw was a de-escalation of potential confrontations using restorative justice practices through the power of student voice was so meaningful. It was so impactful to see students having impact on students rather than adults speaking down to students. It was adults helping students empower themselves to then be able to translate that level of assistance. One critical element also was training students on the identification of troubled signs that could lead to much more severe consequences. I believe that the number of suicidal ideations, for example, the de-escalation of confrontations, the identification of abuse, not school abuse, but abuse beyond the schoolhouse, was better known and addressed because of that meaningful connection between students.
Yeah, I think all of those are amazing things. I'm sure people would love to see those here in Los Angeles. So I guess, which of those are you most excited to see here in LA, and how are you going to ensure that you have the same success here that you did in Miami?
You know, after 14 years in Miami, I learned very well that which worked, that which didn't work, every one of those elements that worked, I want to import them, amplify them, modify them, obviously, to better suit and fit the community, but not without first vetting them through the important stakeholders. So issues that impact students, I'm going to vet them through you. We're going to have conversations, meaningful conversations, and obviously through other entities like the school board and teachers and principals. I believe in the power of community to think through issues together. No one is so bright that can solve everything. And that's the problem sometimes. Sometimes people believe that they have all the knowledge. They don't need to reach across the aisle, across the table, and intellectually meet somebody else towards the solution of a problem.
I think the piece that you said about community is very important. And when we think about community, it's important to acknowledge that there's a real spectrum of people from different backgrounds, different income levels. And it's just such a diverse place, LA Unified, that we really need to understand the idea of equity. And I know that this word is thrown around a lot and it has many different meanings, but I want to ask you, what does equity in LA Unified mean to you?
You're absolutely right. So a lot of people confuse equity for equality and therefore never arrive at equality itself. So equity is a recognition that not everyone starts at the same time, at the same point, with the same opportunity, the same access. And equity then must demand and require different inputs, differentiated levels of support and opportunity so that everyone has an equal opportunity at the same level of success, the same level of output, productivity, happiness, joy, success at all levels. That's equity.
What are your social media profiles? And moreover, what would you say is the best way for students to contact you with any questions or suggestions they have?
That is a terrific question. So in my previous role, I actually incited the student community to be participants in my social space, my social media space. So I am in this very old, historic platform called Facebook. That's old. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram. I've thought about TikTok, but I'm not quite there yet. But the workhorse of my social media activity is really Twitter, but also very, very present on Instagram. I have a pretty substantial following, but I don't want followers. I want an engaged and interactive community. And I hope that the student community in LA Unified actually becomes engaged and can interact with me on social media.
I'm sure that's something all of us would love to do.
Yeah, I can tell you one thing, and this is gonna make some people nervous. I'm fastidious and very concerned about what people eat. Maybe because I grew up in poverty, never having enough to eat, or whatever I ate was not good quality until I was in my early 20s. And I want people to eat good food, healthy food, with many options. And across LUSD, I've seen some great examples of that, and then some not so great. Social media is a great space for students to show me what they're eating, because there's nothing like student pressure and the visuals of it to stimulate change. It worked in my previous life, and it can work here. So a good place to meet is in that space.
And what handle should they tag you at on Instagram if they want to send you pictures of their food, school experience, anything going on campus?
At LAUSDSUP.
Perfect.
At LAUSDSUP for superintendent.
So I noticed that you touched on the followers before, and I don't want to brag, but I'm going to brag. I actually reached 140 followers yesterday, so I'm basically a celebrity now.
Wow.
And now we're going to move on to some of the more fun questions to help students learn some fun facts about you.
Okay.
Yeah, to start off, so I'm of Indian descent, and you were talking about food. Food is really important, and it's a really integral part of our culture. And an integral part of every culture. So can you share a favorite dish that reminds you of home?
Anything dealing with seafood. So for me, there's no better food than a good seafood rice with fish, with shrimp, and ideally a tomato-based broth. That to me is heaven. Mm-hmm. But so that reminds me of home a lot because my home country has a huge coast, and it is what we live off, is seafood. So that's a strong reminder of home.
Yeah, that sounds really great. I know we were talking about this right before we started recording, and we all had some very strong opinions on this, so I'm very excited to get your take on this. Who do you think will win the World Cup in 2022? And let's finally settle the age-old debate, the most important question any human being on the face of the earth can answer. Who is the best soccer player, Messi or Ronaldo?
That Egyptian tornado called Salah. But if I had to pick, it would be Cristiano Ronaldo. But I'm very impressed by, as I said, the Egyptian player. I think he's remarkable. I just love to see his bouncing hair as he dribbles past the opposition. But look, I'm genetically connected to Cristiano Ronaldo, and I think he's a remarkable athlete. But I deeply appreciate also Messi's style. I just love soccer, the real football.
Okay. What are some of your favorite TV shows or movies that you watch often?
Well, that's kind of difficult because I put in 14-hour days, if not more. So my ability to watch TV is somewhat reduced. With that said, anything with music appeals to me. So I just talked about In the Heights movie. I really love that. I mean, I needed that actually a couple weeks ago during the transition. TV shows, I like series that I pick up on Amazon or Netflix. I'm watching right now Reinventing Anna.
Oh, my parents are watching that.
Which I think is great. You know, it allows me to escape into that space, and it's fun. And there have been others as far as movies are concerned. I watched King Richard recently. I thought Will Smith was very deserving of the Oscar. With that said, sadly, that's overshadowed by certain behaviors that should not be demonstrated by anyone. But that's one movie, one series that I'm currently watching. I like anything that takes me back in time. I really want to understand history, and I read through many historical accounts. I watch many documentaries. I have a particular interest in understanding the history of abuse specific to humanity, domination, and the evolution of mankind out of those conditions. So I watch a lot of that type of programming and read about it too.
And before we go on to our next question, I have to tell you, you have to watch Stranger Things. Like, before season 4 comes out on May 27th, you have to watch it. Like, you just have to.
How many episodes in each series?
So there's 3 seasons so far. Uh-huh. First season has 8, second season has 9, third season also has 8.
Wow, you know your Stranger
Yep.
Solid is giving, and, like, the best Netflix ad ever.
You have to. And also,
that's like 24 hours of TV watching.
You'll manage. You'll manage.
Okay.
One hour less of sleep.
Got it.
Thank you so much for joining us, Superintendent Carvalho. We greatly appreciate you being here today and sharing so much incredible insight. It was a genuine privilege, and hopefully we can have you on again soon.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Now, you asked me all the questions. I'm going to ask you one question. Who are you listening to right now? Who's that voice of music that you just can't live without?
I love to listen to a lot of jazz, so I'm listening to a lot of John Coltrane right now.
Amazing. Amazing. Good jazz.
Parisi. Wow, we talked about this before,
yeah.
But I really like the Beatles.
I knew
and I'm
you
learning French
that.
Right now, so I've been liking French music, like 60s French music, like Francois Hardy, you know?
Amazing. Amazing. How about you?
I've gotten back into One Direction, and I listen to Cardi every now and again.
Amazing. Well, thank you. So I'm a big Beatles fan, as I told you, and Queen. Love jazz, probably my favorite, music style, and I just love the fact that it is America's creation, right?
It's incredible.
Yeah, but I like a little bit of everything. You know, give me some Tupac, give me some Adele, Billie Eilish, anything jazz, Beatles all day, every day, with some Bohemian Rhapsody on top. It makes me a happy guy. Thank
nice.
You.
Yeah,
thanks
thank
for
you so
ending
much.
Us on a very musical note.
Yeah, thank you.
It was a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. All right, and I'll watch all the episodes.
You should.
I will.
Thanks for listening. This is Parishi,
Salik,
and Jaden.
And we'll see you next time on Education Empowered.